We present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Once more, My Music. Let me introduce the teams, John Amis and Frank Muir, competing in musical knowledge against Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, the first question to you. This is a little-known work, but by a hugely well-known composer. Can you identify him from his musical fingerprints? Yes.
It was a piano piece when I knew it.
That's right. It's been orchestrated rather nicely.
Very well. It's called Troika.
Yes, Troika Ride.
Tchaikovsky.
Yes. And it comes from a suite of pieces.
It's Seasons, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, The Seasons. It's November from yes, The Seasons November. By Tchaikovsky, or however you pronounced it.
I once met an old boy who had emigrated to America with a conductor called Emil Kupier. And he told me that as a young man, he had led the orchestra in Kiev, and Tchaikovsky had visited them in 1890-91. And he said he had one very curious thing, like they tell in the books. He conducted with the right hand, and with left hand, he keep hand under chin. And I asked him afterwards, why you keep hand under chin? He said, I'm afraid it might roll off.
Oh dear. It's called being chicken in Kiev.
Oh dear, yes.
He thought his chin was going to roll off, or his
he
hand?
He thought his head was going to roll off.
No
his
wonder.
Head.
Yes. I mean, this is well known from the biogs, but there was a man who had actually asked him in Poison.
Yes.
And now you can tell your children. You heard it from me, who heard it from Kupier, who heard it from Poison.
Frank, in your case, the music first, and then a question. Curious music, Frank. When I tell you it's called Overture Christopher Columbus, can you give me a date?
Yes, about 1450-52.
Or 92.
Born to my new telephone.
Your new telephone number, John.
No, he's born in 15th century.
I meant the
probably
music.
Probably in Corsica.
Try the music. Yes.
What about the music?
Well, what was it? Whence? No, when did it...
1492.
Did you put a date to the music?
1492.
No, no. All that funny music.
1929.
That's... Your partner is absolutely spot on.
I said that, didn't I?
Yes.
That's right.
Of course you did.
And good. Your side's got the mark. What was it? Do you know by whom, John?
Overture Christopher Columbus from film music by Dmitri Shostakovich.
Shostakovich from a projected opera, I'm told. Yes, that's right. Good. All right, mark.
Okay.
When you answer a question, you learn a little something at the same time.
Don't you? That's right. Ian, can you identify, please, a voice, a very rich voice?
Ocean and Lord, I hear you calling.
Beautiful voice.
It is, isn't it?
I don't think I can.
Don't you? Ah, no, American. Curious the way he halved the tempo on that song, I thought. And unnecessary.
Opera singer?
Yes.
No.
No. Does anybody in the audience recognise the voice?
Cheryl.
Thank you. Cheryl who?
Mills.
Thank you. Cheryl Milnes it was. Yes, it was Cheryl Milnes. Dennis, I don't really know how you are on identifying instruments, but let's find out. Take your pen in hand, would you please, and write down what instruments you hear in this 30 seconds or so of music. You hear there? I'll
well,
there's
for sure drums.
Yes, right.
Saxophones. I don't know how
yes.
many.
In fact, saxophones. Yes.
Right. Trombone.
Yes.
Trumpet.
Yes. Several.
Electric organ.
Yes.
And towards the end, I was searching for something else in the rhythm in the rhythm section because I don't think it would be just drums. So I'll make a guess. Just something. I didn't hear a double bass, so I think yes, guitar.
Just strum something. You've got the lot, really. Yes, guitar or guitars there. The organist was Jimmy Smith on the Hammond organ. Very good, Dennis. You've got them all. I wanted to slip in an organ record because we've been quoting to one another Beecham stories recently, and there's a lovely one about, you know, how musicians tend to feel sometimes about organists. They told Beecham that there was written on a tombstone the words, "Here lies a fine musician and a great organist." And Beecham said, "How did they manage to get them both into the same grave?"
May I tell my Beecham story? I haven't heard it from an American. Beecham was conducting the New York Phil, and it was a program that he found had recently been done by somebody else, very eminent. So he decided not to bother the orchestra too much with rehearsing it. So he just did a few bars of Brahms' Second Symphony. That was that. Knock at his dressing room door a few moments later. Very young player said, "Oh, Sir Thomas, I was very disappointed you didn't do more of the Brahms second." He said, I'm replacing Harold Gomberg, the first oboe who's ill, and I've never done Brahms second symphony before, Sir Thomas." He said, "My dear fellow, I can assure you, you'll love it."
Some real teamwork now. John and Frank trying to guess the titles of the first four tunes I play in this medley. Ian and Dennis trying to guess the second four tunes. They're a little bit quicker than usual this time, I think. Anyway, we'll see. One medley on my piano coming up. I told you they went by quickly.
Faster than we could write.
John and Frank.
Soldiers of the King, the first one.
No.
My object most sublime. Shall the human
who sings,
punishment fit the crime.
Yeah, who sings the song? Because it's known as the Something or Other's song.
Oh, is it?
Titty Pooh.
Yeah, that's right. That's where he lives.
You mean to say I've got a Gilbert and Sullivan rhyme?
Yeah.
Cancel the rest of the series.
Yes, my object all sublime. The Mikado song.
Get
yes.
the next one.
Then
da
di da da dum. No, before that. Da 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 da. It's going to be a long night, folks. Da da.
Why do I love you?
Yes, good. Then, John, unless I misheard, you said wishing. Well, you're right, wishing will make it so. And the last one for you...
is Little Dolly Daydream.
Little Dolly Daydream.
Fried a ho,
yes,
where the potatoes come from.
And you have got full marks. Four halves. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Ian. Goodbye.
Thank you, goodbye.
Bye. You've got the next one as well.
And yes, got the next one.
What's the next one? What's the next one after goodbye?
No, after goodbye is the wedding march. Lohengrin, you know.
Yes, well, yes, the bridal chorus. Yes, here comes the bride. All right, it's from Lohengrin. Yes.
Next one. Ado about Maria.
Maria.
That's Maria from West Side Story.
No.
not West Side Story. No, the other movie. What are we going to do about
Mariah? Yes,
Mariah.
Sound of Music. From the Sound,
Sound of Music. Yes, Sound of Music. Right.
You got it, Mariah.
Yeah.
Mariah.
And Trinity Church, I Met My Doom.
Doom. Yeah. Everybody's got full marks for this round. Yes. You would hardly expect me to allow the publication of my autobiography to go by without mentioning the fact. Here are some questions about musical autobiographies. John, what did Berlioz call his autobiography? Which you've read, but you didn't look at the title page.
I can only think of Evenings in the Orchestra, which is not his autobiography.
A very, very simple, single word.
Autobiography.
No. Memoir. So that's no mark to you. Frank, whose autobiography do you think was called Music My Mistress?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that sort of person.
No.
My fiddle is my sweetheart.
No.
It's kind of an extension of that.
He wasn't a fiddle player.
Yeah.
He wasn't a fiddle player. He was a piano player.
Music?
And he loved you madly. He loved us all madly. Kept saying so as well.
Did he?
Yes. Music, My Mistress. It was the autobiography of Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington?
Yes. Mm. Who always used to say, love you madly, if you remember. Ian, who called his story Basso Cantante?
Ah. That's David Franklin.
Yes. Our former friend on this panel.
Panelist.
I met David when he was writing it, you know, in the early, once in the streets, in the early days of writing his book, and he told me he got a title for it, which I liked better than the ultimate title, Basso Cantante. He said he was going to call it The Franklin's Tale.
Oh, yes, that's very nice.
It would have been lovely, wouldn't it? Dennis, can you work out, if you don't already happen to know, what Vivian Ellis called his autobiography?
Yes, it's a good... I've got that one. It's a very good show business autobiography.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Rare. I'm on a Seesaw.
I'm on a Seesaw, yes. He had to call it after one of his own tunes, yeah. And he called it
That's
I'm
one lovely,
on a
so
Seesaw.
They keep popping over to Latouque for the weekend.
Yes, that's right. Miscellaneous music with questions attached. John, which famous 19th century opera by a Frenchman was set in British India, the story of an officer named Gerald and his love for the daughter of a Brahmin priest? What a plot.
Lakmé?
Lakmé by...
Delibes,
from which comes this famous bell song. And so on. Frank, who said, of whom, his music is like a pink bonbon filled with snow? Speak up, John, speak up.
Of course, I mean, it's simple. I get all the easy ones.
Yeah.
It was, what was it? Debussy. Debussy, in reference to Grieg.
Yes, it was Debussy who said of Grieg's music, his music is like a pink bonbon filled with snow. I was thinking he may have had this piece in mind. Ian, two of the most famous pictures, perhaps the two most famous pictures in the Courtauld galleries in London, were previously owned by famous composers. The Bar at the Folies Bergère by Manet was owned by the composer of Marche Joyeuse, and Gauguin's Tahitian girl painting called Nevermore was owned by the composer of Coanga. Can you please work out the composers' names?
Yes, I can.
Good. You sound very surprised.
Yeah, you know, when he starts about these famous paintings and well-known composers, I quake inwardly. But I do know this. Chabrier was the first one.
That's right. He owned originally the Bar at the Folies Bergère, yes.
And the other was Delius.
Who owned that seductive Tahitian girl painting.
Mention of Delius, we've had, as you said earlier, a number of Beecham stories, but there's one which you won't find in any of the books, I don't think, because it's not a Beecham bon mot, as it were, but it was told me by late David McCallum, who used to lead the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra when Beecham was conducting it. And he said, illustrating the sort of influence that he had over the orchestra, he said, I shall always remember we were doing a concert and Beecham had not rehearsed an encore. And the end of the concert, there was a tremendous applause and they wanted an encore. And he said, by a bit of luck, We had in our books, or on the stands of the music, a short piece of Delia's. I couldn't tell you offhand what it was, but it was quite a sort of 7-minute piece of Delia's. He said, we hadn't rehearsed that for a long time. He said, it had just got left in the books for some reason. There it was. And he said, he stood up in front of us and looked and said, the Delia's, gentlemen. And he said, we played it, not having touched it for all this time. And he said, it was very interesting to look round, particularly the woodwind section of the orchestra, because more than one of the players had tears rolling down their faces, moved by the sheer beauty of the sound that they were all making. And he said, that to me is a great conductor.
Also a great composer. Interesting. Yeah. Talking of Delius, Dennis, he must have been the first composer, surely, to set to music the words, Gone with the Wind. Dennis, who invented that phrase, Gone with the Wind?
Well, it comes from that thing you were singing, Sinara. I've forgotten Matt Sinara. Yes. Actually, it should be Gone with the Wind, because it comes onto mine.
Yes, right. But
I'm desolate
words?
And sick of an old passion.
Yes.
Ernest Dowson.
That's right, Ernest Dowson. It was
actually, that Sinara. Poem, yes. Let me put you one.
Yes.
That poem has another song in it, which Cole Porter seized on, right? Right. From Kiss Me Kate.
I'm an old cowhand.
Faithful.
I'm wrong.
I have been faithful.
Right? I've been faithful to you in my fashion.
Which Cole Porter said, I've been true to you in my fashion.
Quite right. Comes from a poem, Non Sum Qualis Eram, if anybody wants to know.
Well, not what I was.
In the party pieces this week, there's a fishing song, a cowboy song of sorts, a song about wild women, and a cobbler's song. John. For men must work and women must weep. The song is called Three Fishers Went Sailing.
It's a most extraordinary coincidence, but I've been looking for a record of this sung by Kirkby Lunn for a long time, and I found it this very week. You know, she's one of the contraltos, like Clara Butt. Nowadays, your alto, like Ferriero or Baker or somebody, will try and disguise the fact of going over from the head voice down to the chest voice. But in those days, they gloried in it, and they did sort of lovely yodel. If I can, I'll try and do it.
Let's have the record and never mind.
Right, good, if they can get it.
Let me try, I'll do that one.
Three fishers went sailing out into the west, out into the west as the sun went down. Each thought on the woman who loved him the best, and the children stood watching them out of the town. Oh, men must work and women must weep, and there's little to earn and there's many to keep, and the harbour burning moon. And they trimmed the lamps as the sun went down. They looked at the squall and they looked at the shower. And the night rat came rolling up ragged and brown. Oh, men must work and women must weep, though the storms be sudden and waters deep, and the harbour be moaning.
John, I heard a broadcast for schools the other day given by you, and it struck me that one or two lines plucked from that broadcast of yours might well be appropriate for us in my music. For example, your opening word, which I've copied onto tape. This word,
Hello.
As Frank prepares to sing us a verse and chorus of Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, your advice to him would be this, and I quote from your programme to schools.
Keep it smooth and gentle, but don't get slower. Let's have some good, clear words.
All right, Frank.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. And the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. And it seems to be climbing straight up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's coming.
Dennis's song is called The Wild, Wild Women. And
remember it. People remember it.
Yes.
You'll help me with it.
Well,
it's a difficult
Dennis,
one.
Dennis, once again, the recorded voice of John Amos has some good advice to offer you.
You're telling a story, so I want crisp, clear words.
Right.
No, wait a minute. Listen. I don't want to argue with a recorded voice, but the words are not the problem, it's the tune. All right, go on. Just give me the tune, right? Yeah.
It's the wild, wild women, the wild, wild women. They're making a wild man of me. Each time I vow that I'm gonna behave, some baby doll just looks and I'm in the grave. Oh, the wild, wild women, the wild, wild women, they're taking advantage of me. Darwin, he was right about that family tree. One ferocious chick can make a monkey of me. Oh, the wild, wild women, the wild, wild women, they're making a wild man of me.
Ian, when I mentioned cobbling just now, I realised you were prepared to give your all. You are, aren't you?
The
yes, good. Cobbler song from Choo Chin Chow, as John Amos so rightly told those schoolchildren.
And so we come to our last song, and it really is the final song.
That's true. Final song, cobbler song from Choo Chin Chow.
Hearing you say it's the final song reminds me of a little story about my father, who in fact was virtually tone deaf, and when he was very young, he was asked in Scotland to sing at a soiree. And he was down for a song in part one and another song in part two. And he sang his song in part one, but unaccountably, to him at least, he wasn't called for his song in part two. And the master of ceremonies must have been such a nice man, because when my father went and protested and said, "You never called me for my second song." And he said, "Well, John," he said, "you see, you're what I would describe as a satisfying singer."
Like Dennis.
Like me, yeah.
I sit and cobble at slippers and shoon, from the rise of sun to the set of moon. Cobble and cobble as best I may. Cobble all night and cobble all day. And I sing as I cobble this doleful lay. The stouter I cobble, the less I earn, for the soul's neck crack nor the upper's turn. The better my work, the less my pay. But work can only be done one way. I sit and cobble at sleep.
sun to the set of moon. Cobble and cobble as best I may, cobble all night and cobble all day, and I sing as I cobble this doleful.
As our friend John Amis would put it.
And that's it for today. I wonder which song has won.
It's up to the audience. Would you care to give Ian a bonus mark for that lovely final song? Yeah. And would you care to give John two bonus marks for his lovely song?
Yeah.
Then the winners are John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.